Let's turn to God's word, shall we, together and read it. And I want us to begin reading from the first verse of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the sheep who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Let's just have a moment of prayer. Lord, we have given thought in recent weeks about what man can and can't see by nature. Oh Lord, we pray that as we come to your word this morning, that you might open our eyes to see the truth about Jesus. Lord, we want to see and we want to revel in the truth concerning him. So open our eyes and give us ears to listen. Grant us hearts to receive your word and help your servant as he seeks to expound your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Warren Wiersbe was a pastor in America. He still may be. I'm not sure what his situation is these days. But he tells the story in his commentary on John of a candid camera going to a very exclusive school where all the students were well above average, and how the candid camera people posed as career consultants. They were basically going to go in and tell these really bright students what sort of careers they were likely to have. And of course, these exceptionally bright students were all very keen to listen to what the career consultants would say. And one young man in particular was very excited. Perhaps he would be told that he would become a president of a college or a bank manager or perhaps some sort of scientific research analyst. Is that right? Yes. Can't say the word. Or whatever else it might be. But of course, the candid camera people had other ideas. And this is what they said. Son, after evaluating your tests and interview, we've decided that the best job for you is a shepherd. And the poor student didn't really know whether to laugh or whether to cry, because he really didn't want to devote the rest of his life to looking after dumb sheep that don't know the way home. I don't know where the role of a shepherd sort of fits in your estimation of jobs. But of course, when we go back to Jesus' day, the shepherds in Israel were the political and spiritual leaders. And so there was a real sense of worth attached to those who were considered to be shepherds. And this passage that we're looking into this morning, of course, is all about shepherds and sheep and sheepfolds and so on and so forth. Now, before we begin to look at the text, I think what's really important for us to recognise is that there is no break between John chapter 9 and John chapter 10. Jesus has not travelled to a different location and is speaking to a different people in chapter 10 from his location and the people he was speaking to in chapter 9. At the end of chapter 9, we see Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Well, he's still speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter 10. And probably the blind man, along with Jesus' disciples and others, are there as well. And so what is the purpose of John chapter 10? Well, I believe it is to contrast Jesus with the Pharisees. Jesus, you see, is a wonderful shepherd, a good shepherd, a loving shepherd, a true shepherd. Whereas the Pharisees were really naff shepherds and were false shepherds. They were uncaring shepherds. So I simply want us to focus over the next few weeks upon all that Jesus says about himself here in John chapter 10. That's what we want to do, isn't it, on a Sunday morning as we look through the Gospel of John, to keep our focus upon the Lord Jesus and all that he reveals to us about him in this lovely gospel. Well, the first thing that I want to say is that Jesus has the right to gather his sheep. Verse 1 begins with reference being made to thieves and robbers that climb over the walls of the pen and steal the sheep. And we ask the question, well, who are these thieves and robbers? Well, the thieves and robbers, I believe, are the Pharisees. And the pen that is being referred to is the nation of Israel. You see, these Pharisees were not really men appointed by God. As we've already seen in John's Gospel, they didn't even know God. They might have had some sort of ordination service, but they did not know God and they were not appointed by God. We might say that it was simply their chosen career path, a means of doing well in life and making a name for themselves. My father-in-law comes from a fairly well-to-do family. And when he was very young, his father had in mind for him to go into the ministry. Now, I don't think that his father was a Christian. At the time, my father-in-law wouldn't have been a Christian, but it was the desire of his father that he might go into the ministry. Because in those days, there was a certain degree of status and respectability attached to the job. One son would go into the army, another one would go into something else, another son would go into the ministry. That was the approach in his family. These men did not know God, and neither were they called by God. And yet they would go around seeking to gather sheep, seeking to acquire disciples for themselves. And Jesus makes reference to this thought in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15. And he says that once they had acquired these disciples of theirs, they would make them twice the sons of hell that they themselves were. And of course they did not care for the sheep. They simply used them for their own ends, to gain what they could from them, whether it be their money or their praise or whatever. And I think this thought is made abundantly clear in John chapter 9. Because we see in John chapter 9 how they treat the man that was born blind. Look at verse 34. "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. In other words, they excommunicated him. They put him out of the synagogue. There was no return for this man who had been born blind. And what had he done? All he had done was simply testify to the fact that Jesus had put mud on his eyes, told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and the result was that they had been opened. All he had done was testify to the goodness of Jesus, but because he wouldn't toe the line, they excommunicated him. Because they did not care for his soul one little bit. Jesus is so different to the Pharisees. So we move on to verses 2 and 3. "The man who enters by the sheep gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and his sheep listen to his voice." I'm told that in Palestine, in all the villages, there would have been a common sheep fold. So at the end of the day, all the various shepherds with their own particular flock of sheep would bring them back to the common sheep fold, and in they would all go. And then, of course, the shepherds would go home for a good night's sleep, and a watchman would be left in order to care for the sheep throughout the night to make sure that no harm came to them. And then again in the morning, all the shepherds would return to the common sheepfold, and they would be given right of access, because the watchman knew them, into the sheepfold. And there the shepherds would call their sheep by name, their sheep would recognize them, and they would follow their particular shepherd. But the point I simply want to make is that these shepherds had the right, they had the authority to enter into the sheepfold by means of the gate. They didn't have to climb over the walls. They had the right, the authority to enter. And Jesus had the right, he had the authority to come to the pen of Israel and to gather those who belonged to him, to gather those whom the Father had given to him. He was sent by God, chosen and sent by God for this very task. In Ezekiel and chapter 4, we find another long chapter in the scriptures that's all about shepherds and sheep. See, back in Ezekiel's day, the shepherds of the sheep, the shepherds of Israel, the spiritual leaders of Israel, were not looking after the sheep. They were just like the Pharisees in Jesus' day. They were abusing them. And the sheep, we're told in Ezekiel chapter 34, had scattered. And in that very chapter, God himself resolves to go and find his sheep and to gather them and to look after them himself. And that's exactly what's happening here in John chapter 10. God, in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is gathering his sheep to himself. He has the right, he has the authority to do that because they are his sheep. But what a wonderful shepherd he is. And I want us to notice a number of things this morning about how wonderful a shepherd he is. So secondly, this morning I want us to notice that he calls his sheep by name. Verse 3, "The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The book of Revelation tells us that there is a book in heaven. And it must be a really, really big book, a bigger book than any book that I've got on my shelves at home, because within it, it has the names of a great multitude. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. And those names that are in it have been written there since the creation of the world. It contains the names of all those whom the Father has given to the Son. And Jesus knows all about every single one of them. And he loves them. And he knows each one of them by name. And here in the Gospel of John, we see Jesus coming into the world and calling his sheep by name. But the wonderful thing for us is that Jesus not only is concerned to call his sheep out of the pen of Israel, but he's also concerned to call his sheep out of the Gentile pen. Because look at verse 16 and what it says there. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And do you know what his sheep do when he calls them by name? Again, the answer is found in verse 3, but also in verse 27. They listen to him and they follow him. Let me just read verse 27, which brings out the same thought as verse 3. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Of course, there may be some sheep that have objections to following Jesus at first. And maybe you were one of those people who objected initially to following Jesus when you first heard his voice. Maybe there were lots of questions that you wanted answering first. And you were the person that meant that your pastor or your Christian friend had to spend a lot of late nights reading in order to try to answer the questions that you were asking. Maybe you were like the sheep that tries to hide or tried to hide at the back of the sheep pen with its bottom to the wall of the sheep pen, reluctant to leave the security of the pen. Maybe you were reluctant to leave behind your life of sin, but Jesus kept on calling. And your questions perhaps were answered. And eventually, having heard his voice, you responded to his call and you followed him. He calls his sheep by name and they listen to him and they follow him. And thirdly, this morning, he leads them out. He leads his Jewish sheep out of Judaism and his Gentile sheep out of heathenism. Indeed, he leads his sheep out of all kinds of things: idolatry, legalism. He leads them basically out of sin, and he forgives them and grants them the gift of eternal life. There's a large conference for pastors that's held every 2 years in America. And I rather enjoy listening to some of the messages that are brought at this particular conference. And I was listening to some of the things that were being said a few weeks ago, and it just so happened that one of my friends that I knew at Bible College was asked to give his testimony on the platform. And I learned a lot of things about him that I didn't know, that I found very interesting. And he's got quite a remarkable testimony, because he was born into what we might call a dysfunctional home. His father left home when he was very young. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was either his mother or his grandmother who was a prostitute. And basically he ended up having to live in foster care, and he was moved from one home to the next, and eventually he ended up on the streets, where he got into drugs and bad company, and of course he ended up in prison. But after he came out of prison, there were Christians who witnessed to him very faithfully and very persistently. And he heard the voice of Jesus. And he responded to the voice of Jesus. And basically, Jesus called him out of that life in which he had lived for many, many years. And he was testifying to that in front of over 7,500 pastors. That's what Jesus does. But of course, not every testimony is like that. But every testimony is nevertheless real and wonderful. Not long ago, I heard the testimony of a young man who was brought up in a very respectable, middle-class Christian home. And they sent him to university, and he got a good degree, and he ended up finding a really good job that paid a lot of money in the city of London. Those looking on the outside might have thought that everything was going really well in his life, but that wasn't true as far as he was concerned. He knew there was something missing, and one day Jesus spoke to him and called him to follow him. He repented of his sin, and he trusted in Jesus and began to follow him. And it was as if Jesus called him out of his respectable life of sin to something new and to something wonderful. That's what Jesus does. He calls his sheep by name, they listen to him and they follow him, and he leads them out. And fourthly, this morning we read that he goes on ahead of them. And I must confess that I really like this thought, that he goes on ahead of his sheep. There's one really significant difference, you see, between Western shepherds and Eastern shepherds. Western shepherds, you see, drive their sheep from behind. More often than not, with a sheepdog. And they drive them by means of fear, because sheep do not like sheepdogs, do they? They don't want the sheepdogs to bite their heels or the back of their legs. They run away. Western shepherds drive the sheep from behind, but Eastern shepherds handle their sheep so differently. They go out in front of the sheep and they call them, and the sheep follow them. And of course, this is a lovely picture of the way that Jesus deals with his disciples. For a Christian here this morning, this is the way that Jesus deals with us as his disciples. He doesn't drive us from behind. He doesn't force us to do things that we don't want to do. He doesn't force us to teach in Sunday school. He doesn't force us to do this or that in church. That's not his way. He doesn't come to us and put our arms up the back, or our backs, and apply pressure until we go to Africa in order to be a missionary. That's not the way that he works. He doesn't force us to do things contrary to what we want to do. He works by means of making us willing. How does he make us willing? Well, he makes us willing by coming into this world and by suffering and dying upon a cross to purchase our salvation. By shedding his blood so that we might be forgiven, so that we might receive the gift of eternal life. He reveals the extent, the wonder of his love to us, so that in response we delight in pleasing him, in doing his will, in doing all that he would have us do. That's the way he works. So he doesn't drive us to do things. On the contrary, he makes us willing. And the thought here, of course, is that he is a shepherd who goes before us, or who goes ahead of us. You know, if you've been following Jesus throughout this past week, you've been walking along the best possible pathway. If you're following Jesus today, if you're determined to follow Jesus this week, wherever he may lead you, you will be walking along the best possible pathway. Because as Psalm 23 tells us, he leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads us along the best possible pathway. The pathway he leads us along may not be an easy pathway. It may be a difficult pathway, a trying pathway. There may be persecution along the way, but it will be the best possible pathway. And of course, it is the pathway that leads to life. It leads to heaven. And one of the great encouragements for us must be that he will help us along our way. At certain times of the year, of course, every shepherd would have been responsible not only for the ewes, but also for the lambs. And you can imagine, can't you, as the shepherd led his sheep across the fields, there would have been times when these little lambs would have struggled to keep up. Perhaps there would have been times when they got themselves into difficulty. But you know, Jesus is a good shepherd. And he's so patient with those who are young in the faith. He's willing to wait for them. He's willing to pick them up and to carry them in his arms. Of course, all the sheep are vulnerable to attack, but he promises to guard and to keep those who are his. As sheep, we have a tendency to wander, don't we? We think we know best sometimes. And we get ourselves into all sorts of difficulty. Jesus is a good shepherd, a loving shepherd, a caring shepherd. And I'm sure many of us are able to tell the story of how when we have wandered from the pathway, he has come to us. And he has dealt with us. And he has brought us back onto the right pathway once again. He will help us along our way. And perhaps another thought under this heading, that he goes before us, he goes ahead of us, is that he doesn't call us to walk along a pathway that he himself hasn't walked before. We know, don't we, that Jesus has come into this world and he has walked that pathway of righteousness. He has walked this earthly road. He goes before us. Just as we begin to sort of draw things to a conclusion this morning, I do just want to pick up what it says here in verse 5. Verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I'm told by those who I have read this week that Eastern sheep do indeed recognize the voice of their shepherd, and that they won't follow a stranger. In fact, they will run from someone that they don't know. It may be that a person puts on the clothing of the shepherd and tries to imitate his voice, but they will still run away. They still won't follow. And you know, this verse is teaching us that we who are Christians are those who recognize the voice of Jesus. And we recognize too when the voice is not that of Jesus. There are a lot of false teachers in this world in which we live. Lots of strange philosophies. Lots of strange theologies that would lead us away from Christ. And I believe that we as Christians have been given the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of discernment, so that we might recognize the voice of Jesus when we hear it, and so that we might recognize the voice of a stranger or of a false teacher when we hear it. I find that incredibly encouraging. Let me just read Matthew chapter 24. Sorry, let me just read to you verse 24 of Matthew chapter 24 to you, where it says, "For false Christs and prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect." And then these words are added, "if that were possible." We have been given the Holy Spirit so that we might recognize when we hear the voice of Jesus. And when it is not the voice of Jesus that is speaking, a voice that would lead us away from Jesus. But I do want to conclude this morning by looking at verse 6 very briefly. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. I think this verse links in with all that we gave thought to in John and chapter 9. The they here, I believe, refers to the Pharisees. They did not understand what he was telling them. Jesus was speaking by means of metaphor, but they didn't grasp what he was saying and who it all applied to. Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised. They didn't really comprehend what Jesus was saying. You see, they did not believe that they were thieves and robbers. They believed that they were the shepherds of Israel. They believed that they were in the know. They believed that they were the ones who could see. As far as they were concerned, they were the guides of the blind. Look at verse 39. Jesus said, this is verse 39 of chapter 9, "For judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." And some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Perish the thought, as far as they were concerned. No, they were the ones, so they thought, that could see. They were the spiritual leaders. They were the ones who knew the law. And so they didn't get what Jesus was saying. They certainly didn't get the thought being expressed here that Jesus is the shepherd who enters by means of the gate and has the right to call a people, a flock, to himself. Because as far as they were concerned, he was a sinner and a blasphemer. As far as they were concerned, he didn't have the right to call a people to himself. As far as they were concerned, there was one thing that he deserved, and that was death. You see, they were the ones, weren't they, that were really blind. Jesus opened the eyes of the blind man so that he could see the truth concerning him. But these Pharisees were blind to the truth about Jesus. And of course, that was a very sad situation indeed. But let me conclude, and this is indeed my conclusion this morning, by simply asking some questions. Do you recognize who Jesus is? Do you recognize his voice? Have you heard his voice and responded to his voice? Have you responded to his call to follow him, to give your life to him, to be led wherever he might lead you? Are you one of his sheep? Are you a part of his flock, and therefore a part of his eternal purposes? Let's pray together. Lord, many of us this morning want to rejoice and to give thanks that when we heard the voice of Jesus, we recognized his voice and we followed him. And we thank you that we're still following him. We thank you that you've kept us along life's pathway. And we trust and we believe that you will keep us to the end. Lord, having committed our way to you, we pray that we may be willing day by day to follow you wherever you may lead us. Lord, help us to live our lives in the light of the fact that Jesus has died and shed his blood to cleanse us from our sins. May his wonderful love cause us to want to love him and please him in return. And we ask these things in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.